So what's your name?
Melissa McLeod, and I'm the Public Engagement Coordinator with the Aquaculture Association of Nova Scotia.
There's been a lot of criticism leveled at aquaculture salmon, I guess, in particular. And how do you respond to, let's say, the notion, perhaps, first of all, that farm salmon or farm fish and lobster, which is a huge industry in Nova Scotia, can't live symbiotically together?
Well, obviously, we disagree. We think that if farming is done right, done sustainably and responsibly, that all the marine species can live together and can grow and can thrive. So both industries should be able to happen in the same place at the same time. There is research out there that says both sides, and you can make research say whatever you want if you slant it the right way. So what we do is we look around at the research and what it says overall, not just what pieces of it say. And that's on both sides. You know, there is research out there saying the things that we don't necessarily agree with. So we just encourage people to inform themselves, to learn about the industry and how our operators are actually growing their fish. Because there's a lot of misinformation out there about how fish is grown and what impact that then has on the environment and the ability for like lobster to grow or other things to grow.
What are some right practices that your group does to ensure that they're sharing the coastal resource, which is one of your slogans here?
We strive to have members who are working, you know, with the regulations that are in place and also maybe exceeding them. So making sure that they have proper stocking density so that their fish are not only growing in a way that they're not affecting the environment, but so that they're happy, so that the fish are healthy and you know, happy with the way they're growing, because happy fish taste better. And other things, making sure that they're constantly testing, doing assessments of their environment and of their fish and their stocks to make sure that there aren't any negative impacts around on the environment, that there aren't any, as soon as a disease might be around, that they're taking care of it right away so that it's not, you know, lasting in the environment, and that they're properly fallowing their sites to make sure that, you know, the environment is able to go back to its natural state, that sort of thing.
And then I've been having trouble myself determining what exact testing is required at a farm fish site. It seems to be sort of a toss between DFO and the province, and somehow it seems like maybe nothing's getting done. As far as I can tell, the only test required is for sulfides in the water. Is that the case, or what are the tests that they do, I guess?
Honestly, I'm not the best person to answer that question. I'm not a scientist myself. The province would be the best people to talk to about those things, or farmers themselves, because they're all very aware. And as far as I understand it, it is the province that is sort of working hand in hand with the farmers. DFO is also there, but I think it's the province that we go to for first contact for some of those things. There is a provincial veterinarian that works with all the farms around the province. There was talk with the new strategy that came in about hiring more veterinarians, so that when we grow the industry, we'll have the capacity to take on those things. So that would be your best bet for looking at what tests are actually happening.
What about the allegations from sport fisher people that escapes are not being very well regulated from farm sites, and that these fish are devastating the wild salmon populations? Again, it sort of seems like respecting the environment, which is one of the main tenets of the Sustainable Aquaculture Association of Nova Scotia, is perhaps disrespecting the environment?
Well, I'll start out with saying that no farmer wants escapes. That means, you know, that's your crops being lost. So all measures are put in place to make sure that those fish are not escaping. So, you know, we're not seeing mass numbers of escapes happening around Nova Scotia right now. There may have been an incident at one time in the past that happened, but clearly when something like that happens, the regulations and the way that people run their farms are changed to prevent that from happening again. Now, as far as what's happening if there are fish that do escape, again, there's research that says both things. Yes, it's having an impact, and then there's research that says no, it's not. And what we found is that there is some research that has told us that when the fish, if there are fish that do escape, they can't really, they're not surviving appropriately in the wild. Like, they're not, they may not survive enough to even get to mate with a fish that's in the wild. They don't have the same instincts to go up the streams. I mean, it's the same as any sort of farmed animal. If it escapes, you know, if your cat escapes from home, it doesn't know necessarily how to feed itself properly if it's used to being fed. So the chances of them actually reproducing with wild salmon or you know, making it up the stream to where they are to eat all their food or things like that are so unlikely. Like, they're so small that really the impact that they can have of a few escaping somewhere is very minimal.
Finally, what are your thoughts on infectious salmon anemia, both in terms of transmitting that disease to wild salmon populations because of the density and concentration in open net pen farming, and then also the notion of those fish being supported by the CFIA as being clean or being open for market?
ISA does exist in the wild. It is a, you know, a disease, and disease is a reality with any kind of farming, so I'll just start by pointing that out. It is unfortunate when disease happens because it can devastate a farm, if it's a small farm especially. What I'll say is, from what we've seen in the last few months where there have been some outbreaks of ISA, I think it's been handled very well. It's been caught very early. You know, as soon as it's even suspected that it's on the farm, they quarantine it, they get the fish out, you know, they follow the process very, very quickly and move to make sure that it has not spread beyond either that cage or beyond a couple of cages around it. You know, they take out whatever fish they think could have been, open to the disease. But as far as you know, them selling the fish and people consuming it, ISA doesn't affect humans. It would be the same as, you know, if you go out and buy beef or you buy chicken or you buy any crops or anything, you know, if there's been a disease in it, like, you know, we don't know if there's any, if they've had a disease at one time or another. And if it's not something that affects us, do we hear about it?
So you're all right with ISA infected fish being mixed in with the non-ISA infected fish and just sort of being sold?
I personally have no problem with it because I know that it doesn't affect humans, so it really, I don't know why there would be an issue, like, you know, with me eating. If it's not affecting me, then that's totally fine. I would expect that probably some chickens that I buy have had some disease at some time, so.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for your time. It's been good talking to you.
No problem. Thank you.